Bibles to Luke chapter number 18. Luke 18. What up, church? It's good to see a lot of people back from Florida. Joni Pabones right there, right back there. Glad she's back, and many others. You all look tan, got your vitamin D for the year. That's good. Man, we have had a great time here at Grand Rapids Baptist Church. Man, the last couple of weeks have just been phenomenal. I'm looking forward to preaching this message to you this morning. And next week is our Family Life Conference. And I encourage every person to sign up for that and be here Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's the only time of the year where we ask people to come out every night of the week. What we're going to do is at 6 p.m. on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we'll have food for you, just kind of finger food. You know, I know you guys are getting off work and trying to get the kids gathered up and get to church, but we'll have some food for you, and then we'll have some spiritual food at 6 o'clock that meets your needs and your life stage, whether you're a blended family, whether you're recently divorced, whether you've been married for 50 years, maybe you're an empty nester, maybe you're married and have young kids, whatever it is, we have designed classes just for you to equip you for that part of your life. And we believe the Word of God has the answers to every question in life. And so we want to answer those questions and help you along the way. That's why we have the Family Life Conference. Then at 7 o'clock, we'll have our main service. Everybody's in here, all the kids, all the teens, all the adults. And Dave Tice is going to preach the Word of God to us. That's geared towards just the family in general. And so I want to encourage you to sign up for that. If you're sitting here thinking, I can't necessarily afford the $50 for my family, we have people have donated money as a scholarship for you to be able to join that. Of course, we won't point you out or embarrass you, but if that's you, make sure you come talk to some of the staff about that, okay? We want everybody to go, amen? We want money to be a hindrance, but the conference does cost, and so I wanted to make mention of that. Is everybody at Luke 18? You guys, how many of you guys brought your Bibles? Raise your hand, brought your Bibles? Good. All right. And how do you guys enjoy going to church where you're encouraged to bring your Bible? Amen. I see church and people, more people have a cup of coffee than they do the Word of God. That's unbelievable. Because here's the thing. It's the Bible, it's the Word of God that changes lives. Amen. And so we're going to open the Bible this morning into Luke 18. I want you to notice in verses 35 through 43. It says in verse 35 through 43, I'm preaching this message. It's entitled Prayer That Changes Your Life. And I want you to see in verse 35 about a man, a blind man who prayed. Notice what it says. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, that's Jesus came to Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. They didn't have programs back then for the blind and for the disabled. Their life was a life of begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Now he's heard about him. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, and that he should hold his peace. Be quiet. Don't bother Jesus. But he cried so much the more. You see that? He cried even more, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? In other words, what do you want me to do to you? What do you want? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Now, Lord, I pray that this morning that we would be encouraged to be Christians who pray. I pray for myself included, Lord. Now, so many times I've neglected this needful area in the Christian life. Lord, I pray that it would inspire each person this morning to pray, to lift up their voice to you, to ask these petitions of you. And, Lord, I pray if somebody here doesn't know you as their personal Savior, I pray that they would get saved as well. Thank you for the two who will be baptized at the end of the service. And thank you for the people whose lives have been transformed and changed and how you're working in each life. Would you continue that work this morning through your word? And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Bold and big prayers honor God. And God honors big and bold prayers. I remember when my wife, when we were dating, we broke up. And when we broke up, that was the moment I knew I couldn't live without her. People say, how do you know she was the one? Like, I just couldn't picture myself with anybody else but with Shonda. And when we broke up, I started a little prayer journal asking God to give her back to me. And it was an impossible prayer. It was a prayer that it was something that I lifted up to God that I knew only God could answer. I couldn't do it myself. I remember when we moved out here from Las Vegas to Grand Rapids, and we were in that building down the street. How many of you guys remember the old building? You guys remember that? The worst, ugliest, smelliest bathrooms in all of churchdom. I'm sure in the early days of the church, outhouses were better than what we had over there down the street. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? Okay. It was bad. And I thought, Lord, you're going to have to do this because there is no possible way that we could ever impact this city. Oh, you're going to have to do a miracle here. And people often ask, they say, Pastor, Cody, how in the world did your church go from 20 to what it is now? Well, what's the secret ingredient? It's so funny because they think it's this, you know, it's one little phrase, it's one little action. And I can honestly say, I don't know. It was just God. And by the way, that's a great place to be. Because it's God that gets the honor. It's God that gets the glory. I can honestly say everything that's happened here is God. It's not me. I know it's not me. It's God did this. I remember when Katie got cancer, it was a devastating thing. One day we're ice skating. The next day she's going in for surgery to get a tumor taken out of her. Cancer were the words that were told us by a doctor. Just overwhelmed us. And I'll tell you, it was a wonderful thing to be able to pray to God and say, God, would you answer this prayer request to heal our daughter and to give us comfort? We pray these things. God is honored. God is honored and magnified and glorified by our big, audacious prayers. And nothing less. God is not insulted by your biggest and your boldest prayers. He is insulted with anything less. If it's something that you can do, it is something that you can imagine, then it's not of God, it's of you. When your prayers aren't impossible for you, then they are an insult to God. Why? Because they don't require any kind of divine intervention. That's why. That's what prayer is all about. The bigger the prayer, the more glory God gets and the more power he then reveals to mankind. You see it right there in verse 43. It says, and immediately he received his sight and followed him, saying, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto who? Why? Because it was God that answered this impossible prayer to receive his sight. See, the greatest moments in the Christian life are when human impotence and God's omnipotence intersect. When our insufficiencies and our frailties and our failures and our weaknesses intersect with God's power and his wisdom, that's when you experience the great wonders of the Christian life, my friend. I don't know where you are. I don't know where you're going. Some of you, I think, are aimless. You're not really sure where you're going. You're not really sure what to pray. And that's what I want to encourage you with this morning. What am I supposed to do with my life? And I hope the message answers that question for you. Some of us, we don't pray because we just don't know what we want. We don't know where we're going. But I don't know where you're at, but you're one prayer away from a miracle performed. You're one prayer away from a dream fulfilled and a promise experienced. But I want you to understand that most of us don't get what we want from God because of three things. I want to share them with you from the Word of God. Number one, because we're not specific. We are not specific with what we want. Notice in verse 41, Jesus said, saying, what do you want me to do unto thee? What do you want me to do? In other words, what do you want? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Do you guys see that? He wanted the man to be specific about what he wanted. So what do you want? Now, how many of you guys know the Lord already knew what he wanted? But God wanted to hear it from him, that he is specific with his prayer request. God is asking you to spell it out. He wants you to spell out your prayer request. Whatever it is that you're asking. Maybe you spell it out with healing. So, man, I need healing. I need maybe emotional healing or physical healing. I need that, Lord. Maybe it's spelled with peace. Maybe it's spelled with comfort. Maybe it's spelled with financial provision. Maybe you need a bill that's paid. Maybe you want to pay off your house. I don't know what it is. Maybe you have a wayward child, and that's the specific prayer. You spell it out, something that's detailed. I want to share with you what prayer is not. Prayer is not vague. That's not what prayer is. A lot of times we pray vague prayers. Lord, bless our family. Okay. Well, how? Let's get specific on how you want God to bless your family. A lot of times we say, Lord, just bless this day. Well, Lord, please bless this day. Well, be specific on how you want God to bless your day. What is it that you want? I think the problem with many Christians is we just don't know what we want. We're not specific. We say, Lord, we'll just leave it up to you. You do whatever you want to do. But God wants us to be specific. Prayer is not vague, and prayer is not assuming. In other words, I don't really need to ask since, you know, God already knows what I need. And so I don't need to ask anything. I'll just assume He knows what I need, and He'll just go ahead and give it to me. And that's not what prayer is either. Notice that God already knew what the man needed, but He wanted to hear him ask specifically what the need was. And some of you are sitting here thinking, well, if God already knows what I need, then what's the point of asking for it? Right? And the answer to that is that prayer is relational. Prayer is relational. Okay? There's a fundamental difference between getting something from God and getting more of God. There's a big difference there. Prayer is not religious. Prayer is relational. See, God graciously involves us in our own transformation. He doesn't just transform you without you being involved in the transformation. Does that make sense? That's why God wants you to be a part of the prayer. He wants you to specifically ask what it is that you want. He wants you to be a part of that transformation. He wants you to be a part of that provision so that God could then get glory in your life. See, prayer is not religious. It's relational. That's what it is. I specifically asked God, I said, God, would you allow Sean and I to be together? I specifically asked that. I have it in a journal. I can show it to you. And I said, Lord, I don't care who she dates and I don't care what happens, but Lord, would you bring us back together? Specific in that prayer request. I remember with the building, our church was miraculously growing. And we had grown it so much, God has grown it so much that when visitors would come, the foyer would be so packed with people. They'd be all in there like sardines. The visitors would come in and just, you couldn't go anywhere. And they'd just walk out. They would just go back to their car. And we had to go to two services over there. And it was just a wonderful time. And I remember thinking, we have to move out of this building. And the reason why is because our building was also not only small for our congregation and wasn't meeting our needs, but secondly, we were on contaminated land. There used to be an old dump site next door where the library is, and all the sewage seeped into our land and it contaminated the whole thing. And so, I mean, we had people drinking out of the water fountain, growing a third arm, you know, they're walking out like, what is this? Kids were coming out, they were like glowing, like the Shekinah glory of Moses coming down from Mount Sinai. It was crazy, but we had to move out of there. The city was so adamant that we moved that they said, we'll buy your building and let you stay there rent-free for 2 years. And so we made that deal and just asked God to provide for us. And I remember we bought 12 acres of land, and I thought, you know, we're going to build this building, until I found out how much it costs to build a 12,000 square foot building. It's $1.8 million. I was like, well, our church can't afford that. But Lord, we're going to step out by faith. And we asked specifically. I remember many times driving around our city, driving by a building of a church or a synagogue, and thinking, man, look at that building. Look how big and nice that is. And they don't even teach that God is, or that Jesus is God. They don't even preach the Bible. How can they have that? Lord, could you give us a building? Lord, please give us a building. And I remember begging God and saying, give us something that's going to meet our needs. How many of you guys understand that God wants to give you above what you could ever ask or think? Because that's who he is. He wants to do abundantly more than you could ever ask or think. Because that's our God, that he wants to show off that way. That's who he is. He wants to do way more than you could ever ask or think. And many times we insult God by limiting him to something we can come up with. I remember when Katie was going through her cancer treatment, and we go upstairs to the top floor of the Helen DeVos Children's Center and get on our knees and say, God, would you heal Katie? Specific prayer, very specific. Would you heal her? And second prayer I had was, Lord, if you don't heal her, she's, by the way, how many of you guys understand that God would heal her now, or God will heal her at when she died and she goes to heaven? She's healed either way. I was happy with that. But I was specifically praying that he would heal her and let her live a long life. That was a specific prayer I asked God. And the second prayer I asked God was that he would give us comfort no matter what. And he did. We're specific about those prayer requests that he would provide. He'd provide financially. They told us it was going to be, we had a $15,000 deductible for that. And I'm thinking, man, $15,000, you know, that's a lot of money. And of course, compared to what Katie was going through, that we just didn't really care about that. But it was a prayer request. We were specific. Lord, could you pay that? And I just gave you three just little examples, but I can guarantee every single one of you are sitting right here. You know you have a need that only God can provide for. You're kind of at a loss right now. You're like, well, you know, if I got a whole bunch of money, that still wouldn't answer it. You know, if I moved away, I wouldn't answer it either. And it almost seems that you look horizontal and you think nothing in this world could ever answer this prayer but God. And that's when you need to get specific. Amen. Specific about what it is that you want. Now the question is, can I ask whatever I want? And the answer is yes. Now, some of you guys think, oh, here it comes, the wealth, health, and prosperity preacher. You can just ask whatever you want. Well, let's see what God has to say about this. Okay? Look at Matthew chapter 7 in verses 7 through 8. It's on the screen. If you want to look in your Bible, you can look there as well. But it says, ask, and it shall be given to you. Not might be given to you, not hope to be given to you, but what? Shall be given you. Ask. That is what prayer is. Prayer is asking. Let's say that together. Prayer is asking. Let's say it again. Prayer is asking. That's what prayer is. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. In fact, the verse even goes on to say, if you, being a father, or you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your heavenly Father know how to give good gifts to his children? If me, being evil, know how to give good gifts to Katie, Bella, and Pippa, how much more does God want to bless you in that way? As a child of God, to come to him and say, Lord, I'm asking you for this. He wants to give it to you. And if he says no in specific areas that you're asking, that means he's opening the door to a greater yes down the road. He knows, well, you're asking for this, but let me tell you something. I got something even bigger and better down the road, so just hold on, be patient. God does want to answer your prayer request, but many times we miss out on the greatest parts of the Christian life because we're not even asking at all. I guess the question, have you been asking God for anything? We insult God by not ever asking. God wants to show off his power, his omnipotence. He wants to show off in your life and to reveal himself to you. The Christian life is so boring to many because they don't ask him to do what only God can do. Just kind of going through the motions. Can you ask him for things? You can ask him. Look at 1 John 5:14. It says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he what? He heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So can you just get up and say, man, I've been wanting a Corvette my whole life. So Lord, give me the Corvette. I've been wanting a big old honking house to show off to people. Now, Lord, give me the house. Is that what God is talking about here in the scriptures? No, he says you can ask whatever you want according to his will. Pretend that I ask my kids to go into the backyard and landscape the backyard, which we all know would never happen. But let's pretend they go in the back. I want you to landscape the whole backyard, pull the weeds, do the mulch, mow the lawn, clip the hedges, prune the bushes. I want you to do all those things. And that's all I said to them.
That's it. That's all. Now go do it.
Now, they'll come to me and say, okay, Dad, could we have the debit card? And I say, what would you need the debit card for? Well, we need hedge trimmers. And we need to buy the mulch. And we need to buy the... What do you think I'm going to do? I'm going to pull out my wallet and I'm going to give them my debit card because I'm going to provide for them what I've asked them to do. Why would God ask you to do something and not provide everything you need to do it? Now, what if my kids came to me and said, Dad, yeah, I know you've wanted us to landscape the backyard. Could we have the credit card? I say, sure. What do you need it for? Because we want to go out to eat. Because we want to go down to Sky Zone and jump it up. Because we want to go down to Disney World. We're going to fly down and have the time. That's why we want the debit card. And I say, well, that wasn't what I asked you to do. I asked you to landscape the backyard, and I will provide anything you need to get the job done. God's asked every husband to love his wife. That's all he says. Just love your wife. And some of us are like, okay, Lord, well, I'll need this to do that. And whatever you ask within the bounds of that will, God will give it to you. So, Lord, you promised, you told me to provide for my family. Now, Lord, I'm asking you to provide. Lord, I need a better job. Lord, I need more pay. Or, Lord, I need some more hours. Or I need whatever it is. You know what God will do for you? He will answer that prayer request. Are you guys with me? You say, well, Lord, you said we're supposed to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's all he says. Okay, Lord, well, I need the tools to get the job done. Lord, would you give it to me? And God says, I'll give it to you. God's told me, he says, all right, Cody, I want you to pastor the church. I want you to be the under-shepherd of this church, and I want you to be a good steward of it. That's all he says. Now I say, all right, Lord, well, we need a building. All right, Lord, we need some staff. Lord, we need some leaders that we can train. And Lord, we need all these things. We need to raise money to finish up the nursery. And by the way, all the money's raised, we're building out the nursery. But Lord, we need these things, and we ask God, and he is glorified. He is honored by our big, audacious prayers. When we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. He wants to answer those things. Whatever it is. There's promises in the Word of God that you can claim. You know what God promises? He promises love, joy, peace. He promises that he could make you long-suffering. No, I'm just an old stubborn German, you know, I'm just the way I am. No, that's not what the Bible says. He can make you gentle, meek, temperate. Say, man, I just have these temptations, I have these urgings, and I just give in to them because that's just how I am. And God wants you to overcome those things. He can make you temperate if you just ask him. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not. If you need power over temptation, or if you need provision in an area, God wants to give it to you. All you have to do is be specific in asking. Have you been specific? What is it that you want? What is it that you need to accomplish God's will in your life? What is it that you need to have a great home? Not a great house, but a great home. What is it that you need to be the parent that your kids deserve you to be? What is it that you need? Be specific in that. What is it in your life that's causing you the greatest pain? What sin in your life can you not overcome right now? God wants to provide a way of escape for you. God wants to be that power and that grace in that area of your life. He wants to be your hero, your provider, your God, where you can experience him. Not just read about him in the Bible, but actually experience God in a fresh and new way. Where it's not just something you read in the book, it's something you've experienced in your life. Be specific about your prayers. The reason why many of us don't experience God is because we're not specific about what we want. So according to the Bible, can we ask what we want? According to his will, right? What do you want? Not so that you can ask amiss, as James says, to consume it upon your lust, but ask according to his will. If you know what God's will is, you can ask whatever it is you want. Be specific, ask him. Are you guys with me? Oh my word, this is unbelievable. Okay? Some of you are missing out on God's best for your life because you just simply aren't asking. Number two, do you know why we don't get answers to prayer? It's because we don't define success in our life. We don't define success. Look in verse 43. So after Jesus heals this man, he says, immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Now, many of us have never defined what makes us successful in life. Sure, you've done some cool things. Sure, you've accomplished some great goals. And that's great. Okay, that's wonderful. For me, I've experienced some great things in my life. We've accomplished some great goals. But at the end of the day, many times, I still feel empty. It's kind of like the airline pilot who got on the intercom and said, ladies and gentlemen, I have good news and I have bad news. The bad news is we don't know where we're going, but the good news is we're making great time. It often feels like we're getting nowhere quick, doesn't it? We've accomplished a few goals and, you know, we've done some good things. And it's like, but what else is there? I still feel empty. We wander in the wilderness of life because we don't have a clear purpose for our life. We haven't really defined success in our life yet. We just hope it's going to come one day through osmosis or just somehow we're going to be successful and happy. I've written down this week, I wrote down three definitions of success in my life. This is just something I wrote down for me. You could adopt this or you can sit down sometime in a quiet place and ask God to define what success is in your life. But I've defined it this way. Number one, I've defined it as success is what I'm becoming. Success for me is what I am becoming. God is not concerned about what you're doing and where you're going as much as who you're becoming. Are you guys with me? God is not as concerned about where you're going or what you're doing as much as who you are becoming. What you're becoming will determine where you're going and what you're doing. But God is more concerned about what are you becoming right now? We all like to brag about what we're doing. We all love to tell people where we're going. But what are you and I becoming? In fact, there's a couple other examples of prayer found in this chapter. Look in verse 9. Look in verse 9 of chapter 18. And he spake a parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that didn't trust God, they trusted themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray. Are you guys with? You guys see that in verse 10? One was a Pharisee, the other was a publican. A publican was considered a really bad person. The Pharisee stood and he prayed. This is what he prayed to himself. He says, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes and all that I possess. Do you guys hear that? He's bragging about what he's doing and where he's going, and he's not really interested in what he's becoming. Notice the next guy. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes into heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. In verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. God is more concerned about what you're becoming than what you're doing or where you're going. He's more concerned about you humbling yourself, becoming a servant, yielding your life to Jesus Christ than what you're doing. And sometimes we think we impress God by our good little works. We go to church and we pray and we read our Bibles and we say, look what I'm doing, God. God's like, I don't care about what you're doing. I care about what you're becoming. What are you becoming? Success isn't how many people showed up to church today as a pastor. Success as a pastor for me is what am I becoming? Is success in the ministry really 1,000 people in church or 10,000 people in church? Is success really having a big house and a nice car? Is that really what success is? at the end of the day, at the end of your life, when you're breathing your last breath, are you really going to say, man, I wish I would have worked more. You know, I wish I would have lived in a bigger house. No, you're going to look back maybe with regret or maybe with joy, saying, man, I'm thankful what God had made me to be, what I became. You can define success that way. That's how I define it. What am I becoming? And number two, define who I'm serving. Who am I serving? I like what Philippians 2 and verse 3 says. It says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. That means empty glorying of yourself. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Either I'm serving me all the time. What can I get from these people? What can I get from my wife? What can I get from my kids? Or my life is defined by how I serve them. You see, you can make a living from what you get, but you make a life by what you give. You can define your life by this: who respects me? The reason why a lot of people continue to go downhill in their spiritual life is because they're more concerned about what others think of them than what God thinks of them. Define who respects me. I pray that the people who know me best respect me the most. If you haven't personally defined success, you will most likely succeed at the wrong things. You have to define what success is in your life biblically. What am I becoming? Who am I serving? Who respects me? I hope that the people in my home respect me the most, because they're the ones who know me the most. And I'll tell you, I've failed my family many, many times, but my goal, my aim is that they would respect me more than anybody else. So we have to define what success is. You say, where is that in the scripture? Where is that here? God was concerned about what this blind man was becoming more than where he was going or what he was doing. At the verse 43, guess what he was doing? He was glorifying God. And at the end of the verse, they were praising God. God was getting the glory. He was interested in what these people were becoming more than where they're going, what they're doing. Define success. Number three, lastly, we don't pray. We don't get what we want because we don't pray steadfastly. We don't pray persistently, unaffected, unmovable. We don't pray this way. And we have to pray this way. By the way, when it comes to defining success, I want you guys to understand something. When we're going through Katie's cancer, God was molding and making us into what He wants us to be. We're better servant leaders because of it. When I saw God answer the prayer of me getting my wife back, it was a wonderful thing. And God had miraculously gave us this building, and He continues to build His church. Not me, but He builds His church. It's a wonderful thing. He's molding us into His image. So I love it. I love being a part of it. But you can't stop praying. You can't stop asking for what it is you're asking for. Sadly enough, somebody says, well, I'll just pray one time and God already knows, so we'll just be done with it. That is not how it works. In fact, if you go back to verse 1 of the same chapter, chapter 18, notice the story of a widow and a judge. It says, and he spake a parable unto them, saying to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to what? Don't faint. Don't quit praying, in other words. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. He was a bad guy. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. Somebody had done her wrong, and she was asking the judge to do her right. In verse 4, and he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me. In other words, God is saying you need to trouble God with your prayer consistently, constantly, steadfastly. Though I fear not, it says, because she troubled me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. We have to pray steadfastly. Go back to our original story. Notice what happens in verse 39 when men try to stop the blind man from praying. Look in verse 39. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. Quit praying. But he cried so much the more. So much the more. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And when they said, you need to stop praying, he says, Jesus, have mercy on me. He prayed louder. He prayed more. He prayed more fervently. You have to pray steadfastly if you want to bend the ear of God. If you want him to answer your prayer request, you can't stop praying for it. Pray without ceasing, the Bible says. God wants you to come to him every single day with that prayer request because he wants to know that you're serious about it. I'm serious about families. I'm doing something this week that I've never done. It's totally radical. I'm going to take every single name in our church, every single family, every child, every marriage, every single. I have a list of all of you. And I'm going to pray 3 times a day, Monday through Friday, every single day. And replace food with prayer. And I'm going to pray for every single family in this room. I believe that prayer is going to change lives. And let me tell you something. Don't let your pastor be more passionate and fervent about your family's spiritual growth than you are. But I'll tell you what, man, I love this church. And I love your family. I want to see you guys grow spiritually, so I'm going to commit to that this week because I believe in the power of prayer. I believe that this Family Life Conference can literally transform this entire church. You have to pray steadfastly. Most of us don't get what we want because we quit praying. And there's a difference between praying for something and praying through something. You see, prayer involves intensity, okay? It's not quantitative, it's qualitative. It's intensity, okay? It's we intercede until God intervenes. We keep asking until he answers the prayer request. Don't stop asking. I remember when I was praying for Shonda to get her back, you know? And I was praying every day. And I'd see her, you know, and my heart would pound because I'd be around her and I was hoping, you know, we would get back together. And I remember asking her friends, I'd ask her friends, hey, can you go up and get Shonda? And Shonda would come down from her dorm room and she'd be like, what do you want? And I'd be like, I think we should be together, you know? And she just didn't want anything to do with me. I was just bugging her. I was just annoying her. And I remember just getting on my knees and praying. And I finally went to a guy named Brother Weaver, Dr. Toby Weaver, and I said, man, I just don't know what to do. And he said, here's what you need to do. He said, you need to go find a pretty girl and hang out with her. I said, what? I'm like, that doesn't sound like very good advice. And he said, no, trust me, just go ahead and do it. And so I found, you know, someone, you know, it's very, very second grade. And Shonda's top league, this was like single A baseball down here. And so I was like, well, you know, she'll work. And so I hung out with her. And my wife, Shonda, she was so upset. She said, if he says he wants to be, why is he hanging out with that girl? So she went up to talk to Dr. Weaver. And she says, I want to talk to you about one of your boys. He goes, Cody Cool? And she goes, yeah. And by the end of their conversation, she was asking, how to get us back together? And now I didn't know this. This is what Shonda told me. But for 2 weeks, I didn't hear a thing. I'm moping around, you know, praying. And finally, I'm sitting at lunch all moping around. And Brother Weaver comes and he taps on my shoulder and says, hey. I said, yeah? He goes, she's ready. I was like, what? Like, just like that, she's ready? Like, yeah. So I asked her out on a date, and she goes, yeah. And then we went to Olive Garden. I didn't have any money, but, you know, but we went and God provided. And then that next year, I didn't have any money, but God provided for a ring and I asked her to marry me. And man, we've been married for 12 and a half years and my best friend, second greatest decision I'll ever make, my first greatest decision getting saved. Man, I'm so thankful that God answered that specific prayer request. Man, I love Shonda. I remember when we were in that building, man, I was just like, Lord, can you give us a building? And we were working with an architect, and we found out it was going to be $1.8 million. And we're praying, God, give us a building. And Chuck Nannini, right here, he was he's a businessman. He's kind of entrepreneurial. He goes around looking for deals, you know. And one thing if you don't know anything about Chuck, Chuck has a lot of faith. The one thing I really enjoyed when I moved here was that whatever I dreamed is a big dream. Chuck would be all on board with it. Let's do it, Pastor. So he said, we need to find a building. He was driving around. He came by this building that had a for rent sign for the other end of the building, not for this part. This was a gym, and it was pig nasty. It was very bad. Chuck walks in, and he goes to the gym owner, He says, hey, would you sell your building? And the guy says, man, I'd love to. And the reason why he couldn't put his building up for sale is because he wasn't guaranteed to sell it. And secondly, all his gym members would then leave. And then he could go into foreclosure. He was just in a precarious position. And he says, I'd like to sell it. And Chuck said, Chuck's funny. I said, what should we give him? You know, fair market value? He says, no, offer him $450,000. I'm like, that thing's worth way more than $450,000. And when we worked with the realtors, we said, we'll give you $475,000. He didn't even negotiate and took the money. $475,000 for a 22,000 square foot building. We were trying to build a 12,000 square foot building on 12 acres for $1.8 million. And this building functions better than the one that we were going to build and the one we imagined. How many of you guys still believe that God can answer your prayers above that you could ask or think? Amen. And our payment is way lower. And all the Dutch said? Amen. I remember when we were praying for Katie and we were getting on our knees and we were asking God, would you heal her? And Lord, would you give us peace? And I remember God giving me a peace that whether she lived or died, God taught me one of the most valuable lessons I'll ever learn in my life. God taught me that she wasn't mine, that she was His. And I got to a point where I was like, she's 5 years old. And I thought, God, thank you for the great 5 years I've had with her. She's yours. If you want to take her, that's fine. She's yours. And there's this peace that overwhelmed me. But then God miraculously healed her. And we're enjoying her. And it made me appreciate my kids and my family more than anything else in this life. What is it that you want God to do? You have to pray specifically. You have to ask God, do this. And then determine in your life what's successful. Write it down. What I mean by that is this. We're just aimless. We're just hoping good things will come our way. You have to define what your purpose is in life. And then ask, determined, and based upon that. And then you have to not stop praying for it. Lord, give it to me. You keep going to Him. You knock on His door. You keep knocking. You keep asking. You keep seeking. And God will give it to you. Amen. Have you been asking? Start asking. Start praying. God wants to bless you. God wants to reveal Himself to you, where then He is glorified in your life. I have three action steps. These are three things that you could do this week, okay? I want you to imagine what your life would be like if you started praying like I said today. Number one, this is what you could do. Be specific about your prayers. Be specific about your prayers. Don't be general. Don't be vague, okay? Don't just assume, well, God's just going to go ahead and give it to me. No, you have to ask Him, verbally say it. God asked the man, He says, what do you want? He says, I want to see. Tell Him what you want. And don't stop asking for what you want. Number two, define your purpose. Lord, why am I here? Why am I alive? Where am I going? And by the way, when you lose your purpose, that's when many people don't want to live anymore. What's the point of living? There's no purpose of living. God has given you a purpose. He's given you an expected end. Find out what that purpose is. Define it. Write it. Go sit down at a restaurant, get a napkin out, and start writing down what your purpose is in life. As a husband, as a wife, as a male, as a female, whatever it is, you write it down. And then thirdly, don't stop praying. Don't stop believing. Don't stop asking. Don't stop knocking. Ask God and don't stop.